Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 This morning we're going to read from Canto 3, Chapter 14. And we're going to start with text number 44. And we'll cover a few verses. So chapter 14 is the section, in this concluding section is Kashyapa and Diti having discussion. So the preceding events were Diti seeing that her sister, co-wife, one of the co-wives of Kashyapa, had a number of children. She wanted children. A little envious, not a becoming emotion. And that's one of those negative emotions we were speaking about yesterday. And she got overwhelmed with that negative emotion, and she approached her husband in an improper time and wanted a child. Why he consented, because he's a man of discrimination, just reciprocating with his dear wife, and the consequence wasn't good. So after conception took place, he expressed to Diti, great misfortune will come. You'll have two sons, and there'll be great demons, and they'll terrorize the universe. Very powerful persons. And because of their terrible conduct, they will be killed by the personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So she felt another emotion, another sad emotion. And expressed her sadness in the following way. We'll just read what she said. Go back a couple of verses, text 40. Diti said, it is very good that my sons will be magnanimously killed by the arms of the personality of Godhead with his Sudarshana weapon. O my husband, may they never be killed by the wrath of the Brahmana-devotees. A person who is condemned by a Brahmana or is always fearful to other living entities, is not favored either by those who are already in hell or by those in the species in which he is born. So the explanation given is that when killed by the personality of Godhead, the result is liberation. And that's not the result when one is the object of enmity or retaliation or checking, maybe those it's a better word, by the Brahmanas. The soul doesn't become liberated. The soul can become benefited by any contact with qualified Brahmanas. Qualified Brahmanas that can kill one, That's favorable. But it's not the same, because only the personality of Godhead can deliver liberation. That's her concern. So I'm glad to hear that the personality of Godhead will kill them. That will be their favor. Specifically mentioned are two things: his arms, which means seeing his form, and his sudarshan, which is his weapon. So they will see his form, and they will be delivered by his sudarshan. And although I have not yet seen, this is Acharya's commentary, although I have not seen up to this date the form of the personality of Godhead, because my sons will see, I will receive that benefit as the mother of the sons who see the personality of Godhead. Which means children, because we're all somebody's child, children can pass on benefit to their parents and previous generations by spiritual progress. And there isn't a better service to parents and ancestors than spiritual progress. That's commented upon by Lord Nrisingadev to Prahlad, because Prahlad requests the deliverance of his father, and Lord Nrisingadev says it's already done, simply because he's your father. He, and not only he, but many generations of ancestors before him are also delivered by your becoming Prahlad, becoming the pure devotee that you are. So she understands that. And, you know, it's not a lovely thing for a mother to hear that her sons will be killed. Not a lovely thing to hear for a mother that her sons will be terrible demons. Here's what Kashyapa says. Oh, haughty one, you will have two contemptuous sons born of your condemned womb, unlucky woman. They will be constant lamentation to all, they will cause constant lamentation to all the three worlds. They will kill poor, faultless living entities, torture women, and enrage the great souls. That's not good news for a mother. But that's, can you close the door? But that's the consequence of her wrong. So ditties, we'll hear this morning's verse, 44 and 45 go together. She's actually an elevated person. She's actually a great devotee of the Supreme Person, as is her husband. And even such an exalted, elevated person can have bad desires. And with bad desires, well, it's not because she's an elevated person, she doesn't get any reaction. She's because she's an elevated person. If we have bad desires and we act on those bad desires, we're responsible. The more elevated you become, the more responsible you become, more culpable you become. So it's very important. Yad acharati shrestas, whatever great souls do, the rest of the world pursues. And so it's very important to be responsible. And we are responsible. So that's a lesson that we're hearing from the Bhagavatam. And she's not complaining or trying to neutralize. She's appreciating the kindness that her husband is offering, that is the consequence will be, they'll be delivered by the personality of Godhead. So She's factually, she's an elevated person, and elevated persons may get some misfortune coming to them arising from sinful activity. So here's the morning's verse, 44, 45, and 46. The learned Kashyapa said, he gives five reasons that something good is going to happen. Because of your lamentation, penitence, and proper deliberation, that's three, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's four, and your adoration for Lord Shiva and me, one of the sons, that's Prahlad, of your son, Hiranyakashipu, will be an approved devotee of the Lord, and his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the Personality of Godhead. And then, no purport next. In order to follow in his footsteps, saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Yoga practice, the process of purifying one's existential identity, is based mainly on self-control. Without self-control, one cannot practice freedom from animosity. In the conditional state, every living being is envious of another living being. But in the liberated state, there is an absence of animosity. Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father in so many ways, yet after the death of his father, he prayed for his father's liberation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not ask for any benediction that he might have asked, but he prayed that his atheistic father might be liberated. He never cursed any of the persons who engaged in torturing him at the instigation of his father. So, some lessons, Bhagavatam lessons. Supposing we make a mistake. Supposing due to lower nature prevailing over higher nature, we do something that's inappropriate. We've been speaking about negative emotions. Sometimes we say something, not that just speech. We say something that later on or immediately thereafter can be, we regret. Why did I say that? It was harsh or it was something inappropriate, something. So that's recognition and then regret. Now, some people don't even recognize, and without recognizing, how is there going to be regret? And if they recognize, they may just sail on. But if there is regret, that's two of the five things mentioned here. It's purification. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a really short essay, explains the pancha sangskara of diksha. And one of those five sangskaras is tapa. So here, the yoga system is self-control. self-control looks like tapa for worldly people. So many do nots. And, you know, that's impossible. Some people think impossible, or it's, I don't know which commentator, but one of the commentators of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada expressed, he gave the name once, this is unrealistic. What Krishna is asking is too much. So it's just like backpedal and, you know, this much. But sarva dharmam parityaja, that's too much. But it's fundamental. It's principle. It's give your heart to Krishna. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. It's not too much. It's the means of going beyond involvement, implication, attachment to the temporary. Not just the behavior, but the heartfelt mam namaskuru, madhyaji unto Krishna. So to some people that's tapa. I mean, for example, Western people, when they come to a temple and they see devotees paying obeisances before the altar, it's like, or they see the reporters when Prabhupada comes into a room and everyone's paying obeisances, and Prabhupada comments on, you know, you may think this is over the top. You're worshiping a man. You know, what kind of thing is going on here? What kind of person is contented to have people bow down before him? And it explains it's not for the person. It's the purification of the individuals. That's so it's a form of tapa. And the whole of the yoga process, it's tapa is commonly taken as something that hurts. You know, immerse yourself in cold water in the middle of the winter and build the circles of fire around you in the heat of the blazing summer and so forth. Bury yourself in sand so you just have a straw sticking up and, you know, do tapa. It hurts. And that's like, so sense control to an extreme degree, parching the elements of the body in the language of Bhagavad Gita. It's austerity in the mode of ignorance. But without austerity, without sense control, mind control, you can't progress in the yoga system. You can't progress in worldly life either if you're not willing to accept some sense control, some restraint. Everyone in the room has done it. To go to school, to do your studies, to prepare for a career, to live the life of whatever you do. And without it, it's animal life. And with it, it's a foundation. It's not the essence of the yoga principle, but without it, you can't progress in yoga. So, for a devotee, this is now back to Bhaktivinoda, he says, for the devotee, tapa, a form of, specifically what he says is, in some traditions, tapa is the hot iron making a mark on the shoulders of the body, and you're the property of Vishnu. So rather than requiring that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged this form of tapa for the Vaishnava followers of Lord Chaitanya. That's regret. Regret is a form of tapa. That's within this Bhagavatam verse, by the way. That's why I'm speaking about it. She recognized and she regretted. There's this, I think the source is Jaidwaita Swami. He called it the four R's. Have you heard this before? The four R's. So supposing something, some deviation, some mistake, some bad conduct. Now, we know from Bhagavad Gita, if there's bad conduct in a devotee that's a fixed devotee, apichet sudharaja robajate mam ananya bhak, one who's an ananya bhakta, they may do some sudurachar, just as ditti. Sudurachar, not just durachar, sudurachar. But Krishna says, Kshipram bhavati dharmadma. He corrects that situation. He personally corrects that situation. That doesn't mean the devotee doesn't have to demonstrate any kind of tapa. So the four R's for the devotee, recognition, that's one. R. Regret, that's two. And sometimes it stops with regret. And goes into like obsessed lamentation. We were discussing that yesterday evening. It becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and just becomes overwhelming. This negative emotion we create like a jail cell, and we keep the lock. We keep ourselves locked up in jail with lamentation. It's the mode of ignorance. So it doesn't, regret isn't the mode of ignorance. Regret is, then you move on to the mode of goodness. That's rectification. That's the third R. Recognition, regret, rectification. So rectification for, according to Rupa Goswami, is be reinstated in bhakti. But reinstated in bhakti where I don't do that again. Because I recognized and I regret. So it's the determination, I won't do that again. And then the fourth R is reinstatement. That's not a Vedic thing. It's a Jaidwaita Swami thing. But it's nice. So she has here in this verse, Kashyapa is recognizing she has the first two of those four. Then he states three more that entitle her to some, you know, further special good fortune. Besides, her sons will be killed by Lord Vishnu. They'll be liberated and she'll receive benefit because her sons become liberated. It's exactly what Lord Nrisingadev said to Prahlad. Not only Hiranyakashipu will be delivered, but so many generations before, so that's Diti also. But so now there's a further benediction that she will have a son, Prahlad, or Hiranyakashipu will have a son, Prahlad, and he'll be this and that and the other thing that's described. We'll get there. So recognition, regret. The translation reads, because of your lamentation, penitence and proper deliberation are put together. Recognition, regret, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, he's confirming she's an exceptional devotee of Vishnu. And even an exceptional devotee of Vishnu, Vajate Mam Ananya Bhak, she did this Sudurachar. So the rescuing factor is her unflinching faith in the personality of Godhead. So how strong is our faith in the personality of Godhead? something. But the unflinching faith is the rescuing factor. That is, the Lord intervenes. But there has to be something from our side for the Lord to intervene in that way, because otherwise it's another set of rules. It's karmic rules. It's the prakriti, guna and karma rules that will conduct the affairs of our lives and previous generation and future generations. We're passing on to others just by how we're leading our lives. That's how it works. And your adoration for Lord Shiva and me. The detail I don't know, but her adoration for Lord Shiva is something that her husband mentioned. So she's an unalloyed devotee that has adoration for Lord Shiva. That is to say, she has a proper understanding of Lord Shiva's position, unlike people that don't. From the Bhagavatam, we know what that adoration is. He's a great Vaishnav. And we adore him because he's a great Vaishnav. Something similar to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, he was equally jubilant to see deities of Lord Shiva and would dance and chant the holy name of Krishna in appreciation for Lord Shiva being such an exalted devotee. There's an episode described in Chaitanya Charitamrita where he saw Lord Shiva and Parvati. Now, he saw them as great devotees. He didn't worship them as equal to and independent from. And he had some exchange with them. And they saw him as the personality of Godhead. So it was very special. The adoration is not the same as bhakti. Bhakti goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Prabhupada explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. It's appropriate to offer respect to others and those that are very elevated to offer adoration to those who are very elevated, provided we understand what is the source of everything? Who is the source of everything? And if that's clear, respect in appropriate degrees to elevated persons or peers or less advanced even, but respect in appropriate measure. So because of her adoration for Lord Shiva, the best of all devotees of the Lord, that's a big plus. Now, we don't so much emphasize that in modern times because of the Hinduization of the whole idea of the Vedas, without elaborating on that one. Commonly, people have a misconception. Commonly, not everyone, but commonly. Just during this weekend, there was one student that came forward and they were expressing appreciation that now, you know, something that I never understood, now there's clarity, the position of Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Brahma, because I was always taught da-da-da-da-da-da. And so, you know, in the simple heart of this person, and it's from the basis of authority, she was accepting. Now it's clear. So it can be clear. And then when it's clear, it's not a problem. But when it's not clear, it can be a problem. It can be offense. It's a small detail. When you read Nectar of Devotion carefully, you'll find in the 64 items of devotional service, one of those 64 is worshipping Ganesh. A Vaishnava item of devotion. So the devotees, one time, asked Prabhupada, this is a nectar devotion, but you didn't teach us worship of Ganesh. How come? And Prabhupada said, because if you worshipped Ganesh, you would worship Ganesh for some material benefit. Remove the obstacles so I can get my material benefit. Because that's how you would see Ganesh. Although, you know, we didn't know Ganesh from anything else. But because of that, therefore, I did not. Instead, I've had you worship Lord Nrisingadeva, because Lord Nrisingadeva is the one who gives the power of Ganesh to remove obstacles, exactly as it says in Brahma Samhita, from achieving the fruits of fruitive activity. But Lord Nrisingadeva removes the obstacles for achieving bhakti. So we worship Lord Nrisingadeva. That was his answer. So we don't go there, although it's listed by Rupa Goswami in where Rupanukas. We worship Lord Nrisingadeva. But I found something very interesting. One of the earliest biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. We're familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita. And chronologically prior to that was Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat. And there was a third one, Chaitanya Mangala. And in the beginning, in the invocation verses, the Mangala Charna verses of Chaitanya Mangala, he's offering worship or a prayer to Ganesh. It's because it's a Vaishnava principle. But some Vaishnava principles we can get wrong. Anyway, it's a detail. But she adored Lord Shiva. And then the final one is her most superlatively qualified husband, Kashyapa. She adored Lord Shiva and she adored her superlatively qualified husband. Her superlatively qualified husband was on a level of the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Not equal to, but on a similar platform. Just like King Chitraketu, Sikh Canto Bhagavatam. Previously, he was an exalted person, but attached, and he got relieved of the attachment by the mercy of Angira and Narada Muni. And then he went to the position of, in his same body, became a resident of Vidyadhara Loka and became the ruling personality of Vidyadhara Loka and became friends with Lord Shiva. Whew. Mahabhagavata Vaishnav. You know, rapidly. In one lifetime. So it's possible to become like that, you know, elevated in one lifetime. So Ditti was of that caliber. So let's review the five things. Regret and repentance. Complete faith in the personality of Godhead. Adoration for the exalted devotees, Lord Shiva, and her exceptionally exalted husband. So then it says, because of these five reasons, one of the sons of Hiranyakashipu will be an approved devotee of the Lord. And his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the personality of Godhead. So the one of the six opulences of the personality of Godhead is fame, yasha. So devotees exalted like Prahlad also become famous. Just see. Here we are so many yugas later and appreciating Prahlad. And not just us, you know, all over the world. Prahlad. Hanuman, you know, great devotees of the Lord are honored and appreciated because of their unflinching faith in the personality of Godhead. That's Prahlad as well as Diti. In order to follow in his footsteps, saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity. Just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Now, what's the purifying processes of freeing gold from its inferior quality? You melt it. Becomes molten gold, and when it's molten, then the alloys separate out, and then somehow, by some process, the alloys are removed, leaving pure gold. But, you know, molten gold must be really high temperature. And we find this nice verse in Brahma Samhita, where the personality of Godhead, Govinda, is appreciated as doing two things. He gives the karma to all living entities from Indra Gopajarm up to Indra according to their respective deserve according to their past karma. And for the devotees, he takes away their karma. And he takes away the karma in the language of Bhakti Siddhanta down to the root. What's the root of karma? It's ignorance, and Bhaktisiddhanta's word is vicious desires. No, desire, ignorance and ignorant desires. Self-detrimental. Atmaha in the language of Ishopanishad, the killer of the soul. Doing things that are against what our real self-interest is. Living an unregulated life, living an adharmic life, living inconsistent with the soul's real purpose and real intention. So, Govinda very kindly removes up to the root those things. Ignorance and vicious desires, ignorance and the influence of ignorance on the desire of the soul, by whatever means. And it doesn't have to be by fire of ordeal, but if it requires fire of ordeal, no problem, fire of ordeal. And that's kindness. So she, Diti, is undergoing an ordeal. She's hearing from her husband that you're going to have two sons that are terrorists. They'll kill innocent people. They'll torture women. You know, they'll be disliked by saintly people. That's not good news for a mother. So, it's a ordeal. And then when they start doing what Hiranyaksha and Ranyakashipu do, it gives great trouble to her sister, Aditi. And so forth. That's, you know, a consequence of bad conduct, of being overwhelmed by, in this case, lust. There's consequences. There's consequences. Fire ordeal. But it's Lord Vishnu's mercy. So, last point, that is, he, Prahlad, will teach people, those who follow Prahlad, they'll learn what Prahlad teaches, how to become free from animosity. In the purport, Prabhupada uses almost interchangeably envy and animosity. And in the teachings of Prahlad, He uses friend and enemy. At least how, that's how Prabhupada translates it. Friend and enemy. And the friend and enemy position is for the materialist. And the materialist is, my goal in life is to please my senses. And persons who help me in securing sense pleasure, they're friends. Those that don't, or worse, those that interfere with my sense pleasure, they're enemies. Adanta gopir vishatam tamishram. Punak punash charvata charvananam, the language of Prahlad's prayers. And Adanta gopir, too much attached to trying to be the enjoyer of the senses. Such persons, they're the ones that see friends and enemies. Or conversely, Prahlad teaching his friends, his teachers, and his classmates, and her Hiranyakashipu, give up this mentality, friends, enemies. Instead, see the Pandita Samadarshana, the Samadarshana principle. What's that? Spirit soul, keep going. Those spirit souls are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord meant for his service. So because of seeing like that, he had no animosity towards his father or the henchmen that were carrying out his father's bidding. He had no animosity because he was beyond duality. He was pure. So to become pure, follow great personalities. Like Prahlad. He's one of the Mahajans. Mahajano yena katasa panta. We can't imitate. But we can, exactly the language that Prabhupada has used, try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity. Just as the purifying process has rectified gold of inferior quality. So it sounds nice and it's easy to, you know, to say something that sounds nice. And then it's another thing to do when somebody insults you. And it can be in the workplace, or it can be in, you know, the community, or it can be in your home, or it can be, you know, somebody does something hurtful. Just, I'll end with this. Here at the Potomac Temple, I was speaking at the Sunday program the last time, I was asked to, the theme is Gita values, remember? You've been doing it probably for some weeks. So I was asked to speak on the Acharya principle, because that's one of the Gita values. And I used the first example, worldly example that I used was the Amish community. Remember that? I was really wowed. Because Amish people are kind of like an anomaly, you know, an interesting species. When I go to speak at Penn State University, the place where I stay is somewhere between Gita Nagari and Penn State. It's the Dodi that runs the program, and he does the cow program. Or, you know, he's one of the persons that works at the creamery. I was told that was a big hit. Did you meet Yasha Dave? Australian accent? Yeah. Slender, gentle person. So where he lives, there's a road, and clickety clack, clickety clack. It's the horse-drawn Amish carriage, black. No, it just, you know, that's how they live. They don't have machines, and they're very happy not having a cell phone, not having a computer, not having electricity, not having whatever you, you know, whatever you have benefit from modern technology. They don't have those things. They have values. And so the statement was, one who lives their values is the basis of dignity, tranquility, and respect, something like that. That's one of their pillars of their convictions. And it's not just something they say that sounds nice. A lot of us say things that sound nice and we don't live by those values. But at least this community, in a real fire of ordeal, I remember this very clearly, two teenage girls were somewhere on one of their properties, and some persons came along and killed them. Like, you know, a hate crime. So that was in the news. And then the very next day was how the community responded. Their first reaction, go to the place of worship and pray to God for forgiveness. Pray to God for forgiveness of the wrongdoers. Like, it's Prahlad Maharaj. And it, you know, it's not storybook. It's contemporary. They live by the values they hold. So somehow they have that value that they can then live by. And it has a lot to do with the character of the elders in the community, and enough so that the next generation behind the elders in the community, they live that way. So now we're not there yet in the Hare Krishna movement. So when is it going to happen? Well, you know, we're waiting for our elders to get there. That's what we're waiting for. Don't wait for the elders to get there. Follow Prahlad Maharaj, read the Bhagavatam, and let it go in, and live your life accordingly. That's how. It's easy to say, well, you know, this person, that person upstairs, you know, they have this discrepancy, that discrepancy, this flaw, this fault, their shortcoming, harumph. And throw our hands up in despair. That's not wholesome. It's not going to help us go forward. And it's not going to help the community go forward or our family go forward. It's individually. And, you know, as much as we can emulate the character, that's the word, the character of Prahlad, who taught by word and example, free from animosity, no friends and enemies, no fault finding and complaining. Doesn't mean you can't recognize, he recognized Hiranyakashipu was a terrible person. He says it. So many wrongs. Please forgive him. Please liberate him. And not just him, the wrongdoers who were the instruments of Hiranyakashipu. That's exemplary. And we're meant to follow, cultivate that character. So it's way back in the third canto. Prahlad doesn't appear to the seventh canto, but it's the strand or the theme is way back here. And Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati shresha. So the Puranas give historical examples of such things as what Bhagavad Gita teaches. And we're meant to become purified by that cultivation. Okay, so we'll end with that. See if there's some discussion. Yes?
Maharaj, I have a question on, I'm trying to understand the 4 R's principle that you said. Taking an example of, say, I said something that was hurtful to others, and later I regret.
First it comes recognition.
Recognition. I recognize and I regret I did such a thing. I'm trying to understand how to do the rectification and reinstatement in this example.
Okay. What does Nectar Devotion say? On your question, you go to the person who you said that hurtful thing to, and what do? You express your regret and request them to excuse you, forgive you. Etc. Supposing that person isn't around anymore. They're somewhere else, or you don't even know how to contact them anymore. Or they've left their body. Or supposing you don't even recognize this specific hurtful thing was said. What do you do? That's, you know, the rectification. Prabhupada's answer to that is Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha. Kripa Sindhu. The Vaishnavas are Kripa Sindhu. So we don't just rely, oh, they're Kripa Sindhu, so I don't have to worry about it. But we appeal to the Vaishnava or Vaishnavas who unintentionally we've hurt. And that's the regret, and it's also rectification. So it's specifically go to the person. Did that answer your question? Don't do it again. Bhakti. That's Rupa Goswami's teaching also. The prayaschitta that's found in different expressions of it, in different teachings and paths, for us is dedication to the bhakti process that's free from that. So for us it's go on chanting the holy name, carefully guarding against offenses. That's the reinstatement. So carefully guarding against the offenses is the reinstatement. Okay?
Yes.
Maharaj, so these are, you are in the spiritual path and now you gave us the statement to follow how recognize and regret. But there might be a few instances in the past we might did so many sins on it.
Yes.
But we not got an opportunity to recognize at that time on it.
Yes.
But now since we recognize at this moment on it, how do we approach for
same. It's not a different answer. If you know the person, you go find the person. And if you can't remember, it's just, you know, we left a trail of hurt behind us, then this Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha, sincerely. You know, it's like something that's unclean making something that's for a long time been unclean. How long does it take for that unclean something to become clean? You may have to go and cleanse it again and again and again and again and again and again. And it's still not clean. We keep, you know, slowly and slowly. So it's prolonged over some period of time. That the consciousness of regret and approaching the Vaishnavas for forgiveness. Specifically Vaishnavas and then others. Yes.
So in this verse, because Pipi has done something wrong, that is why Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu, they became bad. Means they should have corrected it in their life. Or
no.
So if she would have not done in that way, it would have been story.
Yes, that's correct. So, here, two things. The consciousness of both mother and father at the time the sex act, we can say at the time of conception, that determines the soul that's attracted to take shelter. Let's say it again. The consciousness of both mother and father at the time of conception determines the consciousness of the soul that's attracted to take shelter. So if one is in, the would-be mother-father are in elevated consciousness, then an elevated soul, there's exception, but the elevated soul is attracted. Now, Hiranyakashipu and Kayadu, he wasn't in elevated consciousness. So the Prahlad was an exception. But the exception is traced back to the consciousness of his grandmother. The good fortune that she received because of these five things. But the general rule is, rather than the exception, consciousness determines the soul. So her consciousness was not right. Very bad. Not just, you know, at an improper time, because when you're in an elevated position, time becomes more important than, and then her motive was not a good motive. It was disregard of her position of a follower of a great faith in the personality of Godhead. She crossed that line. Overwhelmed by this lower nature. So her consciousness then resulted in the two souls that were attracted to take shelter there. And had it been different, the outcome would be different. Does that answer?
Yeah, means the following question that I had was, so normally when we see something, bad things happening, we think of it's because of my past doings or because of my fate, right? So, is that okay that I did something which I'm not aware of right now, maybe in this life or
yes.
past life, so
yes.
it's related to that?
Yes,
fate.
Yes.
So do we think then leave like that or can't we do anything?
Yes, we can do something. We can make the proper free will choices in the moment. Karma doesn't mean your free will is taken. Or, you know, this other word, destiny. Because of our past deeds, as we're moving along the path of life, here comes good fortune, ill fortune, or whatever it is. Here come the events of my life. Now, is there anything I can do about that? Yes, you can make proper free will choices, how to address the good fortune, ill fortune, and mix. That's what we can do. We take responsibility for our past choices. That's determining the prarabdha karma of the moment. I take responsibility for that. Now, what choices am I going to make given this circumstance? And it can be the same for good fortune as for ill fortune. The mistaken position of good fortune is become the enjoyer of it. Indulge. in the fruits of my past piety. I deserve it. I'm a good person. Now look at, I'm prospering, and it's only right. Krishna's kindness, I'm prospering, let me be the enjoyer. That was a rationale that my mother and father passed on, by the way. And, you know, I bristled. They weren't like, you know, unrestricted enjoyers, but, you know, we're meant to be the enjoyers. It was specifically, I mean, that a conversation with my mother and father was specifically about animals. And I bristled. In the Bible it says, God gave dominion. So, why not? You have dominion over the animals and you eat them. So my response was, when I was little, you had dominion over me. And my mother burst out in tears and left the room. My father chastised me. Why'd you make your mother cry? So, when you have piety, then you have facilities. Now, how do you address yourself? Dharmasya hi apavargasya kamo labhaya. One should never engage in dharma for the purpose of material prosperity and use the fruits of that material prosperity for sense gratification. That's the purpose behind the activity. And that's supposing that prosperity comes. Dharmasya kamo labhayahi smritaha. If prosperity comes, it's not like, well, I guess this is God's intention. He meant for me to be the enjoyer of this, so here I go. No. Whatever prosperity comes, you use that in service to the Supreme. So, good fortune, ill fortune. How do I dress myself to that? The free will choice, that's what I can do. I need to be guided by codes of conduct and bhakti. Proper conduct and bhakti. So I may, I was just listening to Prabhupada this morning, I may live in a skyscraper building or a palatial house. It's not that we say no, live in a grass hut. But if you do those things, then that must be dedicated to Krishna's service. We don't say no, don't eat, we don't say no sex, we don't say don't prosper. You use those things in Krishna's service. That's a free will choice. And then the other side, the ill fortune due to my past misdeeds that I may not even be aware of. How do I respond? In such a way, whatever it is, the principle is that Krishna should be pleased. It sounds nice. And to do that is a little more challenging than just saying it. But that's human mission, cultivation of that consciousness. So the whole process of bhakti is to help us cultivate that consciousness. So we have great personalities like Prahlad to emulate. And others, acharyas who show by example. And then we have to not just say, well, that's them, and I'm way down here, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Anyway, according to our position, we cultivate. And continue, just like making something clean that's been neglected for a long time. It may take a long time to make it clean, but you continue to try to make it clean by right means. Exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who strives by right means is guaranteed of success. That's faith. What the right means? Well, we need wisdom literature. We need scripture. We need descending knowledge to know the right means and how to apply the right means. We need teachers and those that show by example. Here's how you apply by right means. And then we have to say yes and cultivate sadhana bhakti. Yes?
Maharaj, we hear that Lord has granted free will to everyone. And on the other hand, it is also said that not even a blade of grass moves without his consent. So here, Diti misused her free will, or she was bound to make that mistake because...
That one doesn't sanction... doesn't nullify free will. It's not, and it's not that Krishna gives the living entity free will, because that means, it sounds like he can take it away. If he gave it, he can take it away. He gave us this body, he can take it away. But part of our constitutional position is qualitatively like Krishna. As he has unlimited, we have limited. It's our nature. He doesn't interfere with our free will. And then our free will may say, you know, I want to be a millionaire. But it requires Krishna's sanction. Or go the other direction. I want to commit suicide. It requires Krishna's sanction. Sometimes people try and it doesn't happen. Without sanction, nothing happens. So there's five factors of action. One of them is our free will. Or cheshta. It's some effort that we have to make. But because we make some effort doesn't mean it's going to happen. Then answer?
Yeah, but Maharaj, as they were cursed, Jay and Vijay, and they had to take birth in this materialistic world, so...
Who?
Jay and Vijay.
Well, they desired it. Did you know that?
Four Kumars...
cursed them, but before they cursed them, they had a prayer. Did you know? So this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Our dear Lord Narayan, we are your intimate servants, and we know that part of your nature is you have this chivalrous spirit. You like combat. But who's fit to be your combatant? If you so desire, we can do that service. So he fulfilled their desire. Which was a desire of service. And then the series of events, because Super Soul is in the heart of the four Kumaras, and they did what they did.
So all the arrangements were made.
Yeah. For to fulfill the Lord's desire. Now that's exceptional. Not like, you know, an everyday occurrence up in the spiritual world that people pray, let me go become a demon or something. It's specifically, it's stated again and again. It's not that every time Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha appear, it's giant Vijay or some similar thing. Otherwise, it's literally demon, living entities that have misused their free will and becomes extremely demoniac. But so that's an exceptional in the cycle of the ages of mankind. Yes.
I was just thinking of Kashyapu Muni knowing that it's not a proper.
Why did he do?
I just wondered, like, no.
You have to ask him.
Why he didn't correct?
You have to ask him. know, in one sense, he's an obedient instrument of the will of the Supreme Lord. And in another sense, you know, he did a wrong thing. He should have checked his wife's inappropriate desire and said, you know, sorry, honey, let's wait for the proper time. So you can read over that section and there's some comment. And it's not like black and white clear. I'll tell you that in advance. So somehow the influence of the internal potency was at work. But somehow the internal potency can cover even a great soul. So we don't look at that of Kashyapa as anything other than sadhu. By the influence of the Supreme Lord, he did what he did. The sanction of the Supreme Lord was there for him to do what he did, because not even a blade of grass can move without that sanction. So why would the Lord sanction? Because it's part of a big picture, a drama, a lila of the Supreme Lord, for Prahlad to appear, etc. Well, it depends on the relationship. You can't correct anybody, first of all, but you can speak something or not speak something. You make some choices depending upon the relationship and the time, place, circumstance.
Just letting them aware of what's
going on. Depends on the time, place, circumstance. The relationship may not be such that it's appropriate for you to do so. It's, you know, austerity of speech, that message that says if you have such a relationship, then you have the privilege of speaking. If you don't have such a relationship, then you may go to someone that does have that relationship. Or you can make some choices. But, you know, it's time, place, circumstance specific. You certainly should be a well-wisher. That goes without saying. I mean, that's universal. But how that well-wishing manifests is a time, place, circumstance consideration. And that requires pure consciousness, too, because sometimes we don't know what's appropriate in this circumstance. But have the desire to be in service to this person in an appropriate manner. It's not, you know, it requires refined consciousness to know what's appropriate, but that's our, you know, our task or our assignment. And there's no like a rule that says, well, if you don't know, it's then say nothing. You may not know, and you may say something, and it may be right to have said that. It may not be right to have said that, but if the intention is important. Want to be in service, not I want to correct this person. That's false ego. The rescuer consciousness is false ego. It's the instrument of Krishna is the right consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.